The Australian Ballet presents Oscar, a new ballet by Christopher Wheeldon based on the life and writings of Oscar Wilde. Don't miss the world premiere of this powerful production, September 13 to 24 at Melbourne's Regent Theatre. Book now.
This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy.
Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean, and we're from Joy Breakfast.
We hope you enjoy this Joy podcast.
It's 8 minutes past eight on your Tuesday morning. And this morning, Marissa from Second Chance Animal Rescue joins us in the studio to get our pet talk on.
Thank you for coming.
Hello, guys. Lovely to see you guys again.
It's so good to have you in here. And I'm really glad that you're in here today post Pride March because I've got a bone to pick and I'm glad that you're around, hopefully to have my back on this, because usually my role during Pride March is to be on dog watch and call
what
out all of the
important role
fabulous
and
dogs.
And in life, like not and just the Pride March, let's be real. It's your puppy senses are up.
Yes. But yesterday I was like, I hope I see no dogs at all. It's going to be 38 degrees, the road absolutely stifling, and I saw dogs.
Oh, yeah.
And I
no.
saw big, fluffy dogs with short noses on the ground, and I was really mad about it.
Yeah, not good.
It's not. Should they not have had their dogs out?
Look, I guess it's one of these things. Would you have taken your toddler out barefoot on that day?
Oh, gosh, I can't even think about being barefoot myself on that road.
Well, that's the really problem, warm. I guess. If you can't physically be barefoot on the road yourself, you shouldn't bring your dogs out, essentially. You know, anything probably under this, but 30 and over, I wouldn't be walking my dogs, you know, maybe 27 and over. At the end of the day, if it's too hot, they do overheat really quickly. And then if you have dogs such as pugs or boxers, you know, brachycephalic dogs, we call them, the ones with the squishy faces, they struggle to breathe daily as
and
well.
The best of times,
if they make this noise.
Oh, yeah. Yep, absolutely. They struggle on a daily basis, let alone on a hot day. So you can have severe consequences. So a good way to know if it's too hot to walk your dog, you've probably heard people say, is if you put the back of your palm on the concrete, if you can't keep it there, it's too hot.
That's a great little method.
Yeah, look, I just want to say I really hope that all the dogs that I did see yesterday are safe and okay today. But I was so concerned, and it's really hard, you know, being in the position that I was in, because I wanted to call them out and I wanted to be like, take your dog home, but also I don't want to be disrespectful and you know, ruin the pride. But it ruined my pride because it made my heart ache for
I'm sure all
pets.
These people absolutely love their pets and they're a part of their family. So at the end of the day, I think it's just about awareness. It's about, you know, giving resources and information to people so that they can do the best by their pets. Maybe they didn't know and now they do. There's an easy method.
I mean, pets are like family. You want them to be able to share in the pride as well, but we've got to make sure they can do it in a way that's safe for them.
And I guess if anybody's pets seem to be if they think they've overheated or if they're a bit lethargic today or anything like that, just speak to your vet. Give them a call, get their advice, and they'll be able to help out.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Really
Thank you,
important. Coming up, we are going to be talking finances and owning a pet, basically. It's a tough time at the moment for so many
really
people.
Really difficult,
Yeah, it's great that we're going to be having this conversation just to talk about how to juggle and manage things when you're doing it a bit tough.
You're on Joy Breakfast with Rach and Dean, and we're with Marissa from Second Chance Animal Rescue.
You're here with Rach and Dean for Joy Breakfast.
It is 11 minutes past eight and we love, 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 love every time Marissa from Second Chance Animal Rescue comes each month and joins us here in the studio.
Hello, guys.
Now, we are in a oofed of a time when it comes to finances. The world is financially struggling, let's be honest. And owning a pet is not cheap. So we need to find out what options are available for people who might be struggling financially to support their pets in the best way.
And look, owning pets is expensive. It's not a cheap feat. And I guess the line that we would normally use to classify someone as facing financial difficulty has definitely dropped. The world's very different at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, everything is expensive and it's tough for many people. I think more people are struggling to put food on the table, doing smaller shops, running late on utility bills, all that sort of stuff. So times are definitely tough. And I guess no pet owner wants their pet to suffer because they are doing it tough. So it's looking at what we can do, first of all, to prevent falling into these situations with our pets, and then what to do if you're already there.
Yeah.
What? I don't have a pet. I can fix that, by the way. This is true. No, I need to have time to look after one.
Absolutely.
So when we're talking about costs and outlay when it comes to having a pet, obviously getting a pet and starting, that's one thing, but owning and continuing to maintain and look after your pet is another.
That's right. Yeah. Absolutely. Have an idea of how much you would spend generally on a pet every year. Could you have a guess on that, Dean?
I mean, if I was to take it, why don't we narrow it down more? Because a year is a long time. It's 365 days, sometimes 363. If we were just thinking, like for the month, I reckon if we're thinking about food, maintenance, basic things per week, I'm going to narrow it down again. I reckon I would spend about $400 a week on a pet.
$400 a week?
I don't know. Like, that's I'd want to make sure they'd eat better than I would.
Week? Yeah.
Or maybe, like, I'm thinking about food. They'd eat well. I don't know. Like, I clearly don't. I don't know. I'm bad with money, everyone. This is what we're taking away from this.
You could definitely
But you shouldn't. So, what, when you're thinking about planning financially for a pet, how.
To give you a rough idea, studies show that in Australia is a very rough idea. Per dog, you're looking at most Australians would spend over $3,000 a year on a pet, and that's just very basic needs, right? And per cat, it's about $2,000 to $2,500.
Okay.
So that would take into account things like food, right? Daily
going
to the vet for general checkups,
vaccinations,
preventative flea and worm treatments, those sort of things. Maybe the odd toy, maybe the odd bag of treats. You know, grooming, all those sort of things. However, what happens when your dog has an accident?
Yeah.
What happens when your cat jumps off the bed and starts limping, or God forbid, they get hit by a car? You know, things can happen out of your control. And I think it's one of these things that you need to be ready for, just like when having children I guess.
You can own them.
Yeah, they own me at the moment, but like having kids, at the end of the day, it's having a plan just in case things happen and you can't be in control of those things sometimes.
Now, what is the biggest expense when it comes to owning a pet? Do you think it is actually food?
Look, pet food is definitely up there. It's one of those things that they need to eat every single day, multiple times, right? So yes, pet food is a very big one. Vet care really could be the next one.
Could be massive.
And I say could be because at the end of the day, as we said before, you have your general checkups, you have your general vaccinations and worm flea prevention, but when those accidents happen or when something out of the blue happens, it can get pretty damn high.
So yeah.
You need to be prepared for that.
Now,
when we're looking at food, I mean, clearly I have no concept, but I would always want to make sure my pet is eating the best they possibly can.
Yep.
But when we're looking at finances and when you might be doing it tough, food's one of those places, just not for themselves, but for their pets as well. Everyone goes, this is a corner we have to cut. But is there a better way of approaching it?
Yeah, look, I guess it's a tricky one because if there's no food, pets need to eat.
Yeah,
at the end of the day, food is food. And if there's nothing else, you just feed them the best that you can. There is help out there, though, for when you're struggling and you can't feed your pets. Before we get to that, I guess, feeding a good quality premium diet for a pet is definitely superior because of a number of reasons. Pets need nutrition to grow, just like you and I.
Mm.
And at the end of the day, if they're not getting a healthy diet, it can lead to medical issues down the track.
Yeah.
Arthritis, can be helped with a good diet. There's a number of conditions that they can get if they're not eating correctly.
Well, these days, gut issues. I've seen so many people's pets with gut issues or skin conditions because the food is affecting their skin as well.
Absolutely. And look, one thing to consider, I guess, is with a premium balanced diet, in most cases, is you would actually feed them less because they're getting the nutrients that they need in a smaller quantity. A lot of the supermarket brands are filled with extra fillers, so corns and things like that, to make it go further so they get more product. It fills them up, it fills their tummy, and look, that's better than nothing, 100%. But at the end of the day, if they're getting more nutrients in a smaller amount of food, it's going to go longer. So sometimes spending that money on a good quality bag of food can still go longer, and it turns out to be a similar amount in the long run, if that makes sense.
That makes a lot of sense. What about making food at home?
Yeah, and look, a lot of people like to go down that route, raw diets and things like that, and absolutely nothing wrong with that. Sometimes it's even better to a degree. However, you need to know what you're doing.
Yeah.
This is the tricky part. A lot of people, you know, really want to make sure that their pets are getting lots of healthy, fresh ingredients. Fantastic. But if they don't know exactly what it is that your pets need in regards to the vitamins, the minerals, nutrition, you could miss something. Mm. And then
how do you find that out?
Well, it takes a lot of research. It's a lot of study. There's a lot of information on the big wide web.
And it's not just all dogs. This is what works for them. Everything is different depending on the dog you have.
Well, correct. I mean, there's basic things general. That should stay the same. But yes, every dog is very different. Just like us, you know, we can be deficient in particular vitamins and things like that. Speak to your vets, I would say. They're the specialists. Speak to your vets about what your dog needs or what your cat needs, and they can help you with that.
All right, we're going to find out what support is out there if you do find yourself in a bit of a struggle and need to keep looking after your pet. You're on Joy Breakfast with Rach and Dean. We're talking to Marissa from Second Chance Animal Rescue.
Joy.
It is 21 minutes past 8 on your Monday morning.
We're talking with Marissa from Second Chance Animal Rescue about how to look after your pet and keep things moving when you're doing it a bit financially tough. Marissa, you mentioned there was some good support that's out there for people who might be struggling in this regard.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's lots of different options out there. I guess the first thing, there's lots of different areas where your pets need things. But if we're talking maybe to start with veterinary care, because that tends to be the issue that pops up unexpectedly when your pets become unwell and you may not have that, you know, $1,000 sitting in your bank account for when your cat or dog becomes unwell. First of all, I would speak to your vet if something like this happens and you just don't have the money in your pocket, but your pet needs something urgently. Have a chat to your local vet first, because in most cases, I mean, vets run a business, they need to pay the bills. It's very expensive to run a vet clinic. So I know that vet care is expensive and it's one of these things that we all have an opinion about, but at the end of the day, it's very expensive to run a clinic. So this is why costs are high. There's no Medicare for pets, unfortunately, yet anyway.
Wouldn't that be good?
Yes, but in saying that, speak to your vet, because sometimes there are payment plan options. So, for example, at our clinic at Second Chance, we have PayPal, we have ZipPay, VetPay. There's lots of different payment options that some people may be eligible for, and that will help pay the bills.
Isn't it funny? You don't think of that. Like, ask for help, ask for support.
It's hard to ask what their option is. Yeah, it's difficult. This is the problem. You know, I don't like asking for help. I'm stubborn, and there's a lot of people out there. Don't give me that.
No, I'm like, you're in good company.
Yeah, it must be the Italian in us. At the end of the day, it's hard. It's very hard to ask for help and to admit that you're doing it tough. But I guess I'm here to tell you all that it's okay. It's okay. We're all doing it tough to some degree at the moment. You know, as I said, my shops are definitely smaller than they were a couple of years ago. But at the end of the day, ask for help. Your vets, they've heard it before. You know, every second client would be asking for payment plans at the moment. So in most cases, they're available. If that doesn't work, not everybody is eligible for payment plans, you know, credit history, a number of different things. There are charitable funds out there who can help to some degree, depending on the situation. There's a lot of pensioners out there, a lot of people on Centrelink who may not be eligible for some payment plans. Speak to your vet to see who they are in contact with. For example, our organisation runs an outreach program. So we can, in our clinic, we can sometimes offer free, if not highly discounted veterinary care for people who are struggling, depending on the donations and the grant funding that we have available. There are also other organisations like Pet Medical Crisis Fund, Pets of the Homeless, organisations that we work closely with that also can help people that are just down on their luck that need help with their pets.
It's so good to know that there is support out there, because the last thing that people would want is to have to give up their best friend just because they're in a bit of a financial struggle and something might have gone wrong, or they got in an accident or whatever it might be.
Absolutely.
Well, the truth is, like we said earlier in this chat, everyone is doing it tough at the moment. We are in a bit of a financial crisis, so thinking about these things is really important.
Yeah.
Now, before we let you go, we have our pet of the month.
Yes!
Absolutely. Do you have his details there in front of you?
We do. Everyone, I want to introduce Bruno to you all.
Bruno, yes. So Bruno is a beautiful six-month-old Staffy Cross. He came into our care. There was a litter of, I think, 8 of them that came in. I remember the day they came in, guys. They were psychotic. They were little pups at the time, but they were really chunky, and we had them all in this tiny vet room. And I think my I should not have been wearing a cardigan that had those little hot woolen holes
on now, yeah.
It got destroyed. Oops. They were so excited. But they are beautiful dogs. So Bruno, I believe, is one of the last ones left. So he's been with us for a very, very long time now. I think it's over 100 days, if I'm correct.
Well, yeah. Yeah, yes. 6 months. Yeah.
So, yeah. So he's a beautiful boy. He just has a lot of energy. He's really good at picking up new cues. So training him would be absolutely fantastic, especially if you have treats in your pocket. He's all about
excellent.
The food. So he just needs someone who, you know, needs a walking buddy or, you know, who's on a health kick at the moment and wants to walk the tan every day. He'd be perfect.
Now, there were a couple of things. No toy-sized animals in the house.
Yes.
So he would probably thrive with a bigger dog.
I'd say so, yeah. So a bigger dog or someone that's just happy with a dog.
Just one dog.
You know, he's definitely enough dog for most people, I'd say. Know. He's beautiful. So someone with some energy who is happy to get some exercise on a daily basis.
And it also says he's on some behavioural medication, which has played a crucial role in enhancing his well-being. What sort of behavioural medication can dogs go on?
Yeah, I know. It's a good question, hey.
Does he have ADD?
He doesn't. Well, look, maybe. But no, look, sometimes behavioural medication is really handy when it comes to dogs. In the shelter and pound environment, it's stressful. It's a really stressful environment. So we do our very best at Second Chance to make sure they get everything they need to reduce that stress. But there's only so much we can do. Just like people, sometimes medication is needed just to help de-escalate those stress levels and just drop those down. If you are up here all the time and so stressed up, you can't change the way that your mind works, right? So you need to drop that down. And sometimes it's hard to do on your own. So again, like people, medication can help just to reduce those stress levels so that those changes can really be made behaviorally. So it's come a long way, that's for sure.
I feel like Bruno and I are one and the same. We're both adorable. We both need antidepressants.
You know what? I kind of love hearing that where I'm like, but it's nice to kind of hear that and go, oh yeah, like we can relate, like 100% relate, which I think is really lovely. So if you would like to give Bruno a look, we're going to put the details of Bruno up on our socials after the show.
He likes to spoon people.
He's really cute.
He doesn't love a spoon,
and he still has his baby teeth.
He does. He's got puppy breath.
We're going to share Bruno's details on the Joy Breakfast socials, and why not check Bruno out?
Yes.
Marissa, thank you so much for coming and joining us this morning.
Lovely
on the show.
To see you again.
We will see you in a month, and hopefully by then Bruno will have a loving new home.
I will let you guys know.
You're on Joy Breakfast with Rach and Dean. Hey, I'm Rach.
And I'm Dean, and I hope you enjoyed this little snippet of the fun we bring to air as a part of Joy Breakfast during weekdays.
Don't forget to tune in from 7 till 9 a.m. or like and subscribe to the Joy Podcast.
And keep yourself out loud and proud.
The Australian Ballet presents Oscar, a new ballet by Christopher Wheeldon based on the life and writings of Oscar Wilde. Don't miss the world premiere of this powerful production, September 13 to 24 at Melbourne's Regent Theatre. Book now.
This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy.